Thanks for joining us for this episode. And before we get started, please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you may listen to podcasts. If you want to learn more about any guest featured in this episode or access any content or resources discussed, be sure to check out the show notes in the episode description. We hope today's episode increases truth and inspires hope in the lives of your church, your business, your family, and beyond. Welcome to the Must Increase Podcast.
Hey there, I'm Luke Clayton, and I want to thank you for joining me for this. And I'll be honest with you, I got a lot of content to cover. And so I'm really just going to jump right into it. And today, if you're watching, you will notice that I'll have a little bit of visual aid here. And so I am going to be talking about the topic of being and leading responsible digital citizens. And so I hope that you are ready to be challenged. And I hope that you are going to be open to maybe changing, making some actual personal changes in your life, as far as, again, you personally, but maybe also in the way that you're leading your family and beyond. And so, again, because there's so much content that I want to cover, I am going to dive right in. So a shocking statistic that, I say shocking, but when you think about it, it's really not all that shocking, is that the average young person spends 7.5 hours a day on a screen. So this can include maybe watching television, playing on a tablet or smartphone. 7.5 hours a day, the average screen time of those ages 8 to 18. Now, I'll be honest with you, this stat, I've been quoting it for a while. And it's the reason I've been quoting it for a while is because it's actually hard to find updated to the moment, if you will, data and metrics of where we're at now. The shocking thing about this stat is that I actually pulled this particular stat before 2020. And if you remember at all, there was a pretty drastic life-changing event for the entire world that happened in 2020 in the form of a pandemic, which locked many of us in our homes for days, weeks, and for many more even months. And it caused us to take time or be forced rather into spending more time on our devices because we had no choice. We had to do all of our work remotely and all of our meetings over Zoom. And poor kids had to do all of their school remotely and have Zoom classes and virtual learning. But beyond that, we also tended to pick up add to the habit of being overconsumed with our screens because they're already in our hands for work or for school. Well, might as well stay on them to, you know, maybe message my friends or get on social media or play a game or watch a show or any of the other hundreds of thousands of things that these devices are capable of doing. I mean, after all, there's an app for that. 7.5 hours a day is what the average individual or the average child age 8 to 18 is going to spend on their device. Now, the person that we might could blame for all of this or credit for all of this, however you want to see it, very well may be we could point that blame rather back to this man, Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, of course, was the founder of what is now the most valuable company in the world and by far, maybe arguably, the biggest tech company in the world, Apple. And Steve Jobs' greatest contribution to the world of tech was not the computer, although he had a big role in the in implementing and creating and developing the home computer and even other devices like a laptop, and even contributing to devices that could access the internet. He revolutionized, and he with Apple revolutionized music by introducing iTunes, which eventually became Apple Music. But by far, the single greatest contribution that this man made to society was the development of the iPhone, which for all of humanity has become the gold standard for smartphones since it was introduced in 2007. Well, shortly after the iPhone was introduced, he and Apple introduced the iPad in 2010. Shortly after that was released, he got a question during an interview from a reporter, and he simply was asked this: "So your kids, they really must love the iPad." His immediate response was, "They haven't used it." See, Steve Jobs knew the power of the devices that he created and the potential for them to, yes, be used for good, but also to become so cripplingly addictive that he didn't want his own children utilizing the device that he more or less invented. Of course, then we think about another big player in the tech space who is maybe a little bit more recent, and he's still alive today, and that is this man right here, Mark Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg is the inventor of Facebook, but Facebook is now has expanded to be a larger program or platform rather, and company called Meta. Well, Mark Zuckerberg, he has this vision for what he calls the metaverse. Now, one of the pieces of technology that Meta has now developed is their headset for virtual reality. And when Mark Zuckerberg was trying to push this concept of the metaverse, he said this: he imagined an internet that we are a part of, one that we can be inside of. This is Mark Zuckerberg's vision for the future, a vision of a world where we are all living inside of the internet, where we are not just consuming content on the internet, where we are actually living in it and a part of it. Now, fortunately, Mark Zuckerberg's idea of a metaverse doesn't seem to have caught on that well, but let's circle back to our friends over at Apple. Earlier this year, they introduced their Vision Pro headset. And the Vision Pro headset is really a improvement, as they're calling it, on virtual reality as maybe we've known it before. Without going into all the details, the Vision Pro is a much more immersive experience that seeks to blend virtual reality with true reality. So rather than just placing a headset on your face and being transported to a all different world, no, Apple's going to blend the two. You are going to be in reality seeing maybe the room in front of you or the scene in front of you. And then this Vision Pro overlays elements of virtual reality to bring you a seemingly all-inclusive virtual slash real experience. This product is going to be released in early 2024. And while it has a really high price tag, there no doubt will be people to adopt it. And what we are going to see is people that begin to exist in a version of what Mark Zuckerberg talked about, an internet that we don't just consume, an internet that we are a part of. So we are in the early stages of dual reality existence, a reality of the digital and a reality of the physical. Now, to be clear, I don't want to live in a world where we all have a headset on our faces and a world that Mark Zuckerberg pictured as one where you got out of bed, you put on your headset, you went to virtual work, you went to shop at the virtual grocery store afterwards, and then maybe hung out virtually with your friends, and then you take the headset off and you go back to sleep. That's not the world I want to live in. I don't want to live in a world where we have something on our faces all the time and are essentially part of and one with the internet or a metaverse. That said, we cannot deny that while we may not be wearing the phone or the screens rather on our eyes, we are holding the screens constantly in our hands. So the difference, as I very often like to illustrate, is simply, if you're watching, taking this phone that's in your hand and simply holding it over your eyes. It's just about a 6 to 12 inch difference, if you think about it. We're already constantly got these phones seemingly glued to the palm of our hand, constantly looking at these screens. So we're already, in a way, living in this dual reality. Our physical world right here, and our digital world on our screen. Now, is the solution to eradicate screens and digital technology from society? Well, even if you thought so, that's not a realistic expectation. It's not going to happen. We're always going to have technology, and it is only going to continue to advance to the point to where, yes, we may one day be wearing these headsets on our faces, or any other other development thought of or not thought of in terms of technology. It's here to stay and will continue to improve. We simply have to be responsible. We have to realize that we are surrounded by digital connection, and that in a way, we are a part of digital community. Social media is a great example of digital community. You go on Facebook or Instagram, and you are in essentially a community of people that are connected digitally. And this, therefore, has made us to have a digital culture. The world of the digital is not only influencing us individually, it's influencing our culture as a whole. Because the truth is that we are all digital citizens. And we have to embrace our responsibility, just like we have a responsibility to be good, upstanding citizens in the real world. We have that same responsibility in the world of digital. In fact, I would argue that a lot of our problems with society is because people live a dual personality. They'll be something on the internet that they won't be in real life. I wonder how many people would dare to confront people in person the way they do on social media. How many people would dare lash out to someone in person and to their face the same way they would with through a post on X or Facebook or whatever it may be? If we would be more responsible with our digital citizenship, then I believe that we would be more responsible citizens in general. So we're looking into being responsible digital citizens. Well, how do we do that? Well, it comes down to this simple truth, is that we have to learn to take control of media. If not, our media will take control of us. You have to take control of media, or media will take control of you. You have to take control of your phone, or your phone will take control of you. You have to take control of your TV viewing, or your TV viewing will take control of you. You have to take control of the time you spend on X, or X will consume all of your time. You have to take control of media, or media will take control of you. Now, I always like to take things from a perspective of a Christian biblical worldview. But of course, the Apostle Paul or David or any authors of the Gospels or any of the authors of the Scriptures, well, they didn't have this technology. They didn't speak to tell us how to manage our social media properly or how to learn how to limit and control our screen time and all of these things, because these devices, this technology was never even dreamt of in their time. But that's the beauty of Scripture, right? It somehow is able to timelessly speak into even an era that that they could never foresee would come. So I'm going to take us to Ephesians chapter number 5. And for Ephesians 5:18, a very common passage, simply says, do not be drunk with wine. It's talking about, obviously, in this context, alcoholism. Don't get drunk. Don't allow your consumption of a intoxicating beverage to intoxicate you. Don't allow yourself to the point to where you have lost control. Control your drinking habits, or your drinking habits will control you. So it says, do not be drunk with wine. But I wonder if we could take that same application and, or the same statement, and just change one word. Do not be drunk with Netflix. Do not be drunk with Instagram. Do not be drunk with TikTok. Let's broaden it. Do not be drunk with social media. For our workaholics out there, do not be drunk with email. And to once again make it more broad, do not be drunk with screens. So scripture here, speaking of, yes, the specifics of do not be drunk with alcohol, but this is not a passage that is just talking about one issue. It's talking about a principle. Let's back it up a few verses to get the context. Ephesians 5 verses 15 and 16 say, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. It's a couple things there. Walk circumspectly, redeem the time. He's setting us up for something here. He's saying, hey, you need to make the most of your time. I do find it interesting that that is where we find this phrase, redeeming the time. Walk circumspectly. Verse 17 goes on to say, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then we enter into verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine. So again, this is not a verse specifically about alcoholism, although of course it can be applied there, and as it has been many times, rightly so. But again, if we back up and we see the context, the author here, Paul, is setting us up with a biblical principle of saying, walk circumspectly, redeem the time, be wise. And then he goes on to say, don't be drunk with wine. Now, if you look at that in that context, it really makes no sense. It's kind of like, why is it there? Why are you just bringing alcoholism into the picture now and telling me not to get drunk? No, there's a point here. He's saying, here's what you should be doing. Walk circumspectly, be wise, redeem the time. Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Of course, seeing this entire verse brings a whole new level of understanding to what Paul's trying to tell us here. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled, of course, means to be controlled. If you were to take a glass and you were to fill it with water or any kind of liquid and just fill it all the way to the brim, and then you were to try to take that water and you were maybe going to take that to somebody, deliver it to maybe a loved one, even just as simple as like across the room or across your house, you would walk very carefully. Because if you don't, then what's going to happen? Well, that water is going to spill out. It's going to make a mess, and it's going to not be a very convenient situation. When you're filled, you're controlled. What you are filled with is what you are controlled by. So again, going back to that passage of scripture, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And so we can take that passage and we can apply it. We can insert any of those words. Be not drunk with social media. Be not drunk with work. Be not drunk with screens. This is the point. it's not a verse just about stay away from alcohol and don't get drunk. It's a verse about don't allow anything to control you except for the Holy Spirit. And then it makes a lot more sense of why he's saying, hey, redeem the time. Walk circumspectly. Be wise. So, do not be drunk. Be not drunk. Do not be drunk with wine. Don't be drunk with Netflix. Don't be drunk with Instagram. Don't be drunk. Don't be controlled by anything but the Spirit. Well, how do we do that? Because like we said, we're not going to eradicate technology from society, and we'd be foolish to do so. We're utilizing technology right now to deliver this content to you. And it's a beautiful thing. You're very likely watching this on maybe a handheld mobile device or iPad, and you're certainly watching this on a screen. There's no other way to watch it. And so what do we do about technology? What do we do about it? Because we have to be careful not to just make it about a matter of right versus wrong. Now, to be clear, there are things that are objectively right and objectively wrong, that are black and that are white, that are morally right and morally wrong. And there are these things. Technology, though, isn't necessarily one of them. Having a phone is not right or wrong. You know, watching television is not right or wrong. Of course, depending on what the content you're consuming, yes, we could put some moral objectivism to that, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the actual true act of doing these things or owning these things or possessing these items is not right or wrong. So we actually have to back things up and ask ourselves an entirely different question. It's not about what's right versus what's wrong. It's about what's wise versus what is unwise. Well, how do we discern that? What is wise versus unwise? Well, biblically, we have an entire book of the Bible called Proverbs that gives us some very good insight to wisdom. But there's one thing that we could potentially, or a statement rather, that we could keep in mind that could help to us to continue to discern wise versus unwise. And that is this: good things become bad things when they take the place of the best things. Good things become bad things if they take the place of the best things. So again, you can have something really good. You can have a job that you really enjoy. You can be in a ministry, serving in a church as a pastor or an assistant or whatever it may be. But that ministry opportunity, if it takes place of a more important role, something that is better, something that's best, for example, being a father and a husband and leading your family. If your ministry becomes more important than your family, well, that good thing just became a bad thing because it took the place of the best things. Your phone can be a wonderful tool. It's so nice to be able to conveniently call or text your loved ones, a friend, someone in your family, reach out to them. It is really nice to stay connected with people that maybe you met in high school or college through means like Facebook, Instagram, and other social media platforms. It's really powerful to be able to sit down and enjoy wholesome, entertaining content with movies and TV shows. But if you find yourself binging for hours on end, or you find yourself scrolling for hours on end, or you find yourself texting or calling or whatever it may be for hours on end, and you're doing that instead of spending time with your family or doing something like earning an income or taking care of the things that God has given you, whatever it may be, then these potentially good things became a bad thing because it took the place of the best things. So we can think about good versus bad. Again, going back to that total dichotomy of right versus wrong, good versus bad, you know, wholesome versus wicked, whatever you want to say. But maybe it's better than to say good versus bad. We have to make a distinguish of good versus best. It's about weighing what is better. What is the better choice? What is the higher priority? And really, if we look at our lives, that's a lot of what healthy living and decision-making comes down to. It's not necessarily deciding what's right versus what's wrong, versus what is wrong, what's good versus what is bad. It's what is good versus what is best, and placing things in their proper order. So here are some things as we consider what is greater, what is better. What are some kind of principles we can take away as we consider things that are good versus things that might be best? So here's something to keep in mind as we move into these truths. Truth is greater than trends. The truth, and that's a capital T truth there strategically, the truth of God's word obviously outrules, trumps, overcomes trends any day. Again, we're not saying there's something wrong with trends, okay? There's nothing wrong with, hey, making sure that you're fashionable and that, you know, you aren't dressing like you're still living the 90s. You know, dads, you got to stop wearing the socks with the sandals. You know, you got to get with the times. There's nothing wrong with following some trends. But at the end of the day, truth always trumps trends. And if your trends are going to detract and distract from the truth, well, those are not good trends. And even if they are good trends, but you begin to favor those and make things more about what trend you can follow over the truth, well, that trend just became a bad thing because it's taking place of the best thing, which is the truth. So this is an overarching principle that really applies to just about any, if not all, areas of life. Truth is greater than trends. Another thing to consider, why is greater than what? Why is greater than what? If you want short-term confirmation, teach what to think. For lasting transformation, teach how to think. So if you just want to make your people, your family, your children, whatever, if you just want to make them conform, and you just want them to simply do what they're told and submit, well, teach them what. Teach them what to do, what to say, what rules to follow, what to do on their phones, what not to do on their phones. Teach that. And it's not to say there's no place for that. There absolutely is. But this confirmation is going to be short-term. It's not going to be sustainable if that's all that you teach. If you want true, lasting, long-term transformation, then also along with that, teach people how to think. Teach them the why behind the what. Hey, we aren't going to spend hours upon hours on our phones as a family. Well, yes, sir, Dad. Sure, here's my phone. Yeah, but after a while, they go, but wait, why are we doing this? Well, if you never taught them the why, then they're not going to understand the what. Or for an even more on the nose example, if you ask your children to turn over their phones, but then you have yours out constantly during the quote unquote family time you were trying to create, well, that's obviously true hypocrisy, but that's also not enforcing the why and the how behind the what. So for short-term confirmation, teach the what. But if you want lasting transformation, teach how to think. Teach the why behind your what. With that in mind, what you do is greater than what you say. Once again, you can't preach something without practicing it. You can't tell your kids to spend less time on their phones and on their devices if you are going to be spending equally, if not more, time on them. I don't think I have to belabor this point. You cannot live with a do what I say, not as I do mentality. You have to model it. You have to be an example, because what you do carries much more weight than what you say. And here's what I like to remember here as well. He, capital H, is greater than he, lowercase h. It's not original to me. 1 John 4:4, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And we have to remember that. Yeah, the father of this world, Satan, the forces of evil, they have learned how to utilize technology to essentially corrupt society, to corrupt young minds, to corrupt old minds, to corrupt people in all different ways. And it is unfortunate to see that. And it is discouraging. But what we have to remember is that he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. You do. You have Jesus Christ living inside you. If you're a Christian leader of any kind, you have Christ in you. And he is greater than any of the forces of this world, than any big tech oligarch, than any big Hollywood producer who's trying to push an agenda through their studio. He is greater. And we have to embrace that and live that. Because once we do, we realize that we are being filled and controlled by the Spirit. Now, going back to our passage here in Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine. Don't be controlled by something, anything but the Spirit. Don't be controlled by the alcohol. Don't be controlled by the social media, by the work, by the email, by the phone calls, by the Netflix, by anything. But be controlled and be filled with the Spirit. Because here is what's beautiful as we continue to see this passage in its context. We continue on to see that what is the result? What comes as a result of not being controlled, of being wise, redeeming your time, and not allowing yourself to be controlled by something else, but being controlled and filled with the Spirit? The results are really beautiful. It says that you're going to be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And you're going to be making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, it's a great passage here, once again, to make specific application about worshipful music and singing and things like that. I think that's great. But I noticed something much more than just maybe a practice of worship and music. I see that there is two things happening. There's a fellowship with one another and a sweeter fellowship and relationship and connection with God. See, once we're controlled by the Spirit and we aren't controlled by these other things, we find a quite literal, sweeter connection with those physically around us. We find that sweet fellowship with those that we love, our friends, our family. And then, of course, we find this sweeter, deeper, more meaningful connection to our God. Beyond that, it says that we're giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are submitting to one another in the fear of God. So once you get control, you take control of your media and you don't let it take control of you, and rather you're controlled and filled with the Spirit, what do? You find the sweet fellowship with one another as you worship God together, and you find yourself in a place of gratefulness and appreciation, of just giving thanks. It says, always for all things. And then you're submitting yourself to one another. The word submit there is very often comparable to the word respect. You have this new respect for one another. You're not lashing out and being nasty and being unkind to people through your post online and on social media. You're finding yourself being respectful because you're thankful. You're grateful. You've taken enough time to not be consumed by what you don't have that you see on that screen. And you realize, I have a lot. God's good to me. And you're fellowshipping and you're sweetly connecting with those around you, respecting those around you, worshiping and thanking God. And so we have to remember that we have to just choose simply what's better, what's greater. It's always, and it's not necessarily about what's right and wrong. A lot of it has to do with what's good versus what's best. We have to realize that if we don't take control of our media, if we don't take control of our phones, if we don't take control of our television time and of our screen time, it will control us. We have to utilize this technology that we've been given. We have to utilize the things, the blessing that God has given us. He's allowed man to develop this technology, these abilities. We have to realize that we have a responsibility to use that to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of those around us. What more wonderful way to do so than by utilizing, I mean, think about it. What can you do with technology that you can't, that you couldn't do without? You can send a really encouraging text to someone you care about, or to someone in need, or to someone who's just really down and out. You can capture photos and relive memories of your kids and of things that you've done as a family in the past. You could do so many wonderful, awesome things with technology. You can share the good news of Jesus Christ through avenues like the internet and video technology. There's so much truth and so much hope that can be shared through the power of media. But it all starts when we take control of our media before it takes control of us. And when that happens, we find ourselves being and leading responsible digital citizens. Now, next, we are going to get into some really practical application. That was kind of some high-level philosophy. Now we're going to dive into some actual practical application of how we can very effectively utilize technology for good as both a consumer of content and a creator of content.
We are so glad you joined us for this episode. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you may listen to podcasts. Also, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star review and share this podcast with your friends. You can connect with us online at mustincrease.com. And if you'd like a topic or question to be featured on a future episode, send us a text to 615-900-4461. Thanks again for joining us for this episode, and we look forward to seeing you next time as we continue to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others right here on the Must Increase podcast.